neither of them played at all, essentially. They were scratches in the majority of the game. So this year, going in, there are three gaping holes in the starting roles on both sides of the ball. You've got a cornerback spot, a linebacker spot, and a right guard spot that the Vikings have earmarked for these rookies. That's three starting rookies that they're expecting to step in and be upgrades. But having not seen what they can do, having not seen them go through training camp in the preseason, I just think we need to pump the brakes a bit, because we don't know exactly what we're going to get out of your Eric Kendricks, out of TJ Clemmings, or out of Trey Waynes yet.
I think you got to throw him into the fire and let him play. What other suggestion do you have? There isn't anybody left. Dang, that thing looks awesome. I got him to tweet that. I'm going to take a picture and tweet it. Are you on Twitter?
No.
Sorry, I'm not talking to you, Sam.
And Sam Ekstrom, by the way, we now have a new statue, one that I have not broken yet, apparently. And,
well, don't touch it. Don't even look at it. Seriously.
I don't think I ever broke a statue. I honestly don't remember. But I would have hung on to something like that. I have a man cave, too. Maybe not as elaborate as yours. But those are nice. And these are really cool. I don't remember as many colors on the other statues. Yeah.
We can't let Superstar down to that Target Center, Target Field Plaza around the Hartman and the Puckett and the Killebrew statues, because he'd probably break those too if he got too near.
Come on. You know, it's just a problem I have. I get too close to things, I break them. But anyway, so your thought behind your article today with, you know, relying on or counting on or banking on these draft choices. Kids coming out of college in the NFL don't always just walk out there and get it done. I mean, you have to be pretty special, number one, to be one of these offensive linemen that would come in as a rookie and line up as a left guard or right guard, whatever the case, with TJ Clemmings. You can't bank on that. I think it's a good point that you make.
Yeah, well, I mean, last year you look at it, they had three real impact rookies, Barr, Bridgewater, and McKinnon. But only one of those three guys was actually a week one starter. That was Barr. Bridgewater was not supposed to be the week one starter. McKinnon was not supposed to be the week one starter. They were thrust in by necessity. But here, you've got the Vikings basically saying, okay, we've got three spots open. We want these three rookies to take them. But in a way, you almost have to think that's a little naive to think that these rookies are going to be definite upgrades. We want to idealize them because, you know, we haven't really seen them screw up yet. We've read all these positive articles about how good they were in college. But again, you know, do they have the right attitude? Do they have the wherewithal to pick up the offensive or defensive scheme? There are a lot of factors going into the college to pro transition. That's a lot of responsibility to put on three rookies.
I agree. And Sam, you were down at Winter Park, whatever it was, last week, a week and a half ago, and Mike Zimmer was giving a presentation on some of the things you have to know when you come in to play quarterback in this league and any position. He had a few things that he was telling us about Trey Waynes and some of the steps and some of the posturing at the line of scrimmage just to line up on somebody and start with a wide receiver coming off the ball. And it's intricate. It's unbelievable how much really does go into that and how much these kids are asked to learn from day one. And you're right. I mean, and McKinnon, I just want to use that as an example. One of the three that you talked about from last year, Barr, Bridgewater, McKinnon, I think that people, way too many people, are giving McKinnon the credit that he really just has not gone out and earned yet. I mean, he's done a good job. He wasn't anything super special as far as I was concerned. I think he can be, but he didn't reach that last year, and people were just kind of calling him a shoe-in. I don't see it.
McKinnon has to prove his durability. When they drafted him, they knew he was small. They knew he was sort of a Darren Sproles type, and he had good speed, and he had shiftiness and elusiveness, but he hurt his back lifting weights. And you have to have that core strength if you're going into the NFL. You have to be able to withstand someone's helmet hitting you right in the back. And McKinnon's got to prove that he can play 16 games in a season. Now, this year, there should be some responsibility lifted off his back, no pun intended, because Adrian Peterson will now be getting the bulk of those carries, we believe. But, you know, going into this year, I think it's very possible that one or two of these rookies start, but it may not be realistic to think that all three are going to just step in there. And then if they don't, let's say that Kendricks isn't quite ready, then maybe Adi Cole is your middle linebacker. Mm-hmm. If Clemmings isn't ready, then you go to the veteran Joe Berger.
I love that idea. I like that thought.
Sure. I mean, I
Kendricks, trust... and, but I mean, for Adi Cole to be out there at all somewhere as a starting player, even like some sort of nickel situation where he's a nickel linebacker and whatnot. I think that kid can play. I would love to see him see the field more often.
Me too. And I trust Mike Zimmer and the coaching staff down at the Minnesota Vikings more than I've ever trusted any other coaching staff.
Especially with defensive players.
Absolutely. And Norv Turner with offense, even though I get a little frustrated with the fact that I don't feel like he's using Cordero Patterson to the best of his ability. And I know that I'm wrong in that situation, but sometimes I get frustrated. But I trust this coaching staff, and I don't know if I'm doing that, but more than Denny Green, more than Brad Childress, more than Mike Tice, more than Leslie Frazier, these guys know what they're doing. And as Sam is saying, if the rookies, who they are slating to really start right off the bat, if they're not ready, then they're going to do what they did with Ted Bridgewater at the beginning of the season.
Right.
They're going to have a veteran. They have veterans at these positions that they can start until these rookies or these first, second-year players are ready to go. It's not like they're just going to throw them in because they're a first, second, third, or fourth-round draft pick. So I do think that they're leaning heavily on him, as Sam Ekstrom says in his column at 105theticket.com for Cold Omaha, but there are backup plans. So no need to get crazy about everything right now.
I love the whole thought of having depth for once. Sam, would you agree with that? It's something that we've lacked for a long time. We seem to have choices now. Even up front on the offensive line, if things turn out okay with Clemmings, is to have a guy like David Yankee and some of these other guys that we brought in here, even last year. Mike Williams? It was Mike Harris, right?
Mike Harris.
And I thought that he turned out to be a pretty decent player. Berger, you already mentioned him, but Sam, depth is so key in this league. I mean, you get a lot of people hurt really quick, as we know last year.
Yeah, having options is never a bad thing. And it seems like in all the leagues today, you want rookies to come in and immediately play. You know, people get impatient with Byron Buxton and the Twins. They get impatient when Shabazz Muhammad doesn't play his first year. And with the Vikings, they get impatient if, you know, any rookie like Patterson or Sharif Floyd doesn't play right away. But sometimes it takes a little bit for these first-year guys. And if the coaching staff says that Terrence Newman is more ready in week one than Trey Waynes, they know way more about it than I ever could, and they see more film and they study it more closely. And like you said, guys, you got to trust what they do week one and know that it's not the end of the world if it takes 8 weeks for one of these third or fourth or even first round picks to play in week one.
Yeah, I agree. Now you've just got me all excited. I mean, we're sitting out here at the St. Paul Saints for at CHS Field. Now I want football season to start again. Like, just one sport at a time, right? One sport at a time.
One at a time. Thank you, Sam Ekstrom.
Thanks, guys.
Well, you know what? We're doing pretty good down here. We're doing really well. We've got people down here walking past. We got the baseball, new baseball. We've got little kids stopping off. We got a guy with the Viking statue.
Former coworkers.
The dogs in the dog park are making appearance after appearance.
Celebrities.
We had
Hillary Clinton, Bill Belichick. There were a couple other. Oh, the Chiquita Banana Lady came by.
A couple of those. I think I saw Bruce Jenner a second ago.
Why didn't you show me? You know how infatuated I am with this whole Bruce Jenner cutting off the thing and doing the thing with the thing and the things and now getting things. And
there's Gertie. I think you called
Gertie. So who's this lady over here?
I don't know, but the Chiquita Banana thing that you were pointing out, that was Jenner.
That was him.
Yeah.
God, I should have known that.
I told you. But anyway, we're going to come on back, and we've got Brad Reuter. He is the Timberwolves Vice President of Communications. He was in the back room. That's the back room of the back room. The night of the lottery, when everything went down.
He was the guy on the inside.
He was the insider. He can tell how that kind of felt and how it went, because we are picking the first selection in the draft coming up in 3 or 4 months.
Please don't screw it up like the Timberwolves have done over and over and over again.
So in 3 months, we're good to go, right?
Please don't screw it up. Please. 1 month, June 25th.
Oh.
Please don't screw it up.
Okay.
That's all I ask.
Come on back, everybody, with Brad Reuter of the Timberwolves.
Glenn, hard to believe this is the first time that the team with the best odds has gotten the number one pick since 2004. How can you quantify what this number one pick can do for your franchise?
Well, it's very important. They really help us.
What kind of void in your lineup do you think that this pick can fill?
We just want a young man that's got a great heart and a great mind.
Well, I hope that for you. Good luck on June 25th. We're looking forward to it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Just one of those days. sitting out in front of a yet another beautiful new ballpark, one of the many that we have now in the Twin Cities, this one being CHS Field, home of the St. Paul Saints. Superstar Mike Morris, Ben Holson, and we would like to introduce a very interesting guest, Brad Ryder from the Timberwolves. He's the Vice President of Communications with the Timberwolves, and he had a chance to be in the back room all the way at the back where everything goes on, the real deal goes on, and that's how we ended up with the first pick, the first selection overall in this draft coming up in about a month. Brad, how are you doing?
Great, Superstar. Good to talk to you again. How you been?
You know what? Relatively well. I've got a weight issue.
Don't we all?
I'm doing fine. What we want to know from you, Brad, is what that is really like behind the scenes. Dispel all the other notions that we've had before in the past about this being rigged or somehow being, tainted by whatever they do in the back room, and we don't get to see the actual drawings. What does go on back there?
Well, I'll kind of take you through it step by step a little bit here. So about, I'd say, 2 hours before the actual telecast starts, one representative from each team gets to go into this called a back room. It's actually two floors lower than the actual ballroom where the TV show is held. There's 14 team reps there all together, one from each team. There's about 10 media people there as well. They keep the media folks in the room as well. They do not let them leave afterwards, obviously. When you enter the room, they take your phone. It's much like going through airport security in a way. I mean, they take your phone away. They search you to make sure that you don't have a second phone or some other device on you. And then, you're in that room for a couple hours. About 15 minutes after you get into that room, then Kiki Vandeweghe, who's a senior vice president for the NBA player development, he gets up to a podium in a much smaller room than the ballroom that you see on TV. And he kind of goes through step by step the process of what we're about to do. There's 14 ping pong balls numbered 1 through 14. It's a lot different than most people think it is, sir, because a lot of people just think that they put 250 Timberwolves logoed balls in, and then they put, 220 some Knicks balls in, and that's not how it works. There's 14 numbered ping pong balls, 1 through 14, and they hand you a sheet when you walk in the door. There's 1,001 different combinations that can come out of that ping pong ball machine when you pull out one of the 14 balls. They pull out four balls, and we are assigned the first 250 combinations. Basically, we have 1, 2, 3, 4. We have 1, 2, 3, 5. We have 1, 2, 3, 6, if you get my drift, all the way down until, till 250. So of all the combinations that have one in them, there are 286 of those. We own 250 of those. And so as we got started with the process and they lowered all 14 balls into the machine, the first one that popped out was number one. And so right away, I've been telling people it's almost like it was a first-round TKO, because at that point, once that first ball popped up and it was one, we had about a 90% chance of getting the first pick. The next ball that popped out was number three, and at that point it was over with, because the last two balls, no matter what they were when they popped out, were irrelevant. We had every other combination. So basically, after the first two of the four balls popped out of that machine, we already had the first pick. Now what they do, they'll announce, congratulations to the Minnesota Timberwolves, you've earned the number one draft pick in the 2015 draft. They put all those balls back in the machine, those 14 balls, and they do the same thing for the number two pick. And so they draw out, another combination and look and see who's got that combination assigned to them, and that team gets the number two pick. Then they throw all the balls back in a third time, and they do that for the number three pick as well. So hopefully that wasn't too in-depth or too detailed, but it is a lot different than most people.
No, I get it.
I
get it.
Yeah, yeah.
And no, absolutely.
We actually got the third pick too. But we couldn't keep it. There's a new drawing. The combination that came up for the third pick was one of ours too. And so they cancel that out if it's already been assigned to one of the two teams, and they throw the balls back in. So we actually technically did get the third pick too.
Wow. Unbelievable. Wow. Brad, we're talking to Brad Ryder, the vice president of communications for the Minnesota Timberwolves. He was actually in the room while the ping pong balls were being selected 2 hours before the actual lottery was taking place on SportsCenter when Glenn Taylor, and I thought this was important, Brad. This is Ben. I've been emailing back and forth. So appreciative of you coming on the radio show with us. But I thought what you said in the Star Tribune, this little article that you wrote, that you're sitting in this locked room watching the TV show that the rest of us are watching in real time, already knowing what the Timberwolves, that they're going to get the first overall pick, and Glenn Taylor, Flip Saunders, none of these guys knew. What was that feeling like, knowing that you had all this information and you were locked in this room with the 50 other people, where the rest of the world had no idea what was going on?
Well, everybody asked me, was that the longest 90 minutes of your life? And really, it wasn't, because what happened then after all the teams were slotted and assigned, those 10 media people who are in that room, they all kind of converged on me to get my thoughts and, you know, congratulate me and ask me if I had any lucky, you know, things that I brought with me. And so that 90 minutes really did actually fly by a little bit quicker than you might think. But when the TV show started and we all kind of in that room, we're all still in that room and none of us have our cell phones and we're still locked in the room. We sat down to watch the show. It is a little weird because you feel like you're watching a rerun or something. You know, you feel like you're watching a rerun of Seinfeld or whatever, because you know what's going to happen. You know the outcome, but nobody else outside of your room knows what's going to happen. And we all got kind of a little bit of a kick out of the Knicks falling down to four a little bit, because we were all anticipating what the reaction of the crowd would be upstairs when that was announced. And obviously there were some groans in the crowd, and we all kind of laughed in the room about that a little bit. But you know, it is something that's really surreal. It's a unique experience that, you know, obviously not many people in the world get to experience. And you know, having the luck and fortune to be there the night that we finally secured the number one pick in the draft was something I'll never forget.
Can you just do me a favor, Brad? Just go tell Flip Saunders next time you see him that your friends at Radioactive Sports on 105 The Ticket are saying, Carl Anthony Towns. No pressure, but that's who we want.
And you can throw in Carlito if you want to as well. I mean, that's...
It should give me a little job security for a while, I would think. But, you know...
No kidding. Congratulations.
I would think so. Brad Murray. Timberwolves vice president of communications, he explained that very, very well. We all wondered how that worked. That's a much better explanation than I've heard before in the past. Brad, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, you're welcome, guys. Enjoy the night tonight out there. I'm hoping to get out to a game out there pretty soon. It's a nice ballpark.
Absolutely, you'll enjoy it. Thank you.
Okay. It's unbelievable.
Thanks,
guys. It's
Take care.
You
Take
bet.
Care. You too.
Brad Ryder, everybody. That's a fascinating thing. To have all that going on two floors below the actual television show that everyone watches that night.
Isn't it funny how all of a sudden the Minnesota Timberwolves, the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery, and just like that, because of Brad's story,
yeah,
and because of what I watched and saw that night, I don't think it's rigged anymore.
I don't either, especially since it's being sort of orchestrated by former players such as Kiki Vandeweghe.
Yeah.
He used to play for the Denver Nuggets.
And there are 50 people in there, including media members and each representative right. from each team. So how could you rig that?
Yeah, exactly. But I wish I still had him on for one more question, is how the number one team, us, with the most losses, had a 25% chance of getting that first pick, and the number four slot, even with this system, had a better chance of winning than we did,
yeah,
with 35% or something
we
like
had
that?
We had a 35% chance to get the fourth overall pick, is what you're saying.
Well, absolutely. Yeah.
We had a higher chance of getting the fourth pick than the first pick.
And that's how it was playing out most of the time when we used the generator.
Yeah.
We were pulling third,
NBA.
The Wolves pulling third or fourth, and I don't get that. I really don't. But anyway, we have another Mike's break, so look out. I mean, it's the great unknown, but we're going to talk about this stadium that we're sitting in front of, a brand new ballpark. We're going to talk about CHS and we need to find out if Bill Murray's been spotted or not. He's supposed to be here tonight. We've been told that he absolutely is here by Mike Beck. Don't know if he's reared his face or not, but we will find out. We'll come right back. Radioactive Sports.
That's rock and roll.
Rock and roll's here to stay, and rock and roll ain't noise pollution. That's for darn sure. We are here in front of CHS Field, the home of the St. Paul Saints, and Lower Town St. Paul has just come to life.
I thought I was smelling a stogie. That smells good.
Yeah, it does. a few stogies out here. The Green Line train showing up, I'm sure, just any minute now. St. Paul Saints will be up and at it about 7:10. Matter of about 45 minutes or so. They'll be up and at it. I have been told by Mike Vec that Bill Murray is here.
He is.
Part owner of the St. Paul Saints. Yep. And I actually met him once down at training camp in Mankato, your stomping grounds.
Yep.
He was actually up at the training table having lunch with us between practice. So we had the morning practice. He came and watched the morning practice. And then he came over with Ahmad Rashad to have some lunch. And, of course, at the time, the UFC was brand new. And we thought the coolest thing in the world was choking people out. That was like the coolest thing ever was that.
I'm glad that you don't think that that's as cool anymore, because I sit about this close to you every single day.
It was so fun. And then it became like choking a contest to
Did you
see
choke him out?
Who could choke out the biggest name. And you know, it got pretty good. I mean, I think that someone had already knocked out Tony Dungy. So they choked Tony out already.
No, you've got to be kidding
me. No, it's a true story. It's a true story. And so it had to come down to, like, who would you possibly be able to choke that would top? You know, Tony Dungy was still a pretty big name when he was with us. But, I mean, you're going to probably have to choke, you know, Jeff Diamond or Roger Hedrick or Denny Green or someone like that. Well, guess who walks in with Ahmad Rashad? None other than Bill Murray. And I think to myself, well, this is going to be good, because no one can top this one if I can pull this off. So I get up, away from the table, from the lunch table, and I walk up. He's still in line with his tray,
sure,
going through the buffet line with Ahmad Rashad.
Uh-huh.
He's carrying a box, just a little box.
And he has no idea what's about to happen.
No idea. I said, Bill, I said, Mr. Murray, I just want you to go along with this. I'm going to choke you out. I'm going to put my arm around your neck, and I'm going to start. And you just pretend you're going out, and then you tap on the side of your shoulder, 1, 2, 3, and I'll let go. And it'll be over with, and this thing will be over with. But trust me, I need this to happen. He puts the box down on the tray line, and he lets me absolutely wrap my arm around his neck, and I just pretend that I'm leaning on his throat with my elbow. And I'm pretending to choke him out, and he goes out, and he taps, and I let him go, and he picks up his box, and he runs down the steps. He runs down the cafeteria
Why?
Steps. Just
to get away.
Because he was just acting it out, and he's just being Bill Murray.
Sure.
He picked up
so
the box and
get
ran.
Lunch.
He came back up.
Okay.
Came back up and ate.
My question for you.
No one can beat that. No one's beaten that to this day.
Of course not. You can't beat that. Denny Green was allowing people to choke him out?
I don't know if Coach Green would let me do that, but I just did it.
You choked him out.
Oh, him?
Yeah.
Or you mean Green letting us choke Bill Murray out?
No, choking Green out.
Well, I don't
Denny
know.
Green. Because you
no
were talking about Roger Hedrick.
Yeah,
you were talking about Denny Green. You were talking about all these other people.
I wouldn't have wanted to have done that.
No.
I wouldn't have. No, that wouldn't have been really good. I don't think he would have. The most unbelievably gorgeous bulldog is walking past.
Yeah, I love bulldogs.
God,
can I talk
about that? Beautiful, beautiful animal. That's a great animal. What a beautiful dog.
What's his name? Sully,
oh
hi,
my
buddy.
God, what a beautiful animal. Is that an American bulldog, ma'am, or is that
English,
just a regular
right?
English bulldog?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does he fart a lot?
Wow.
Yeah, stinky. Stinky
person, oh, my God.
How old?
A year and a half.
Year and a half.
Dang, he's big.
A year and a half. What a dog. What a beautiful animal.
Him.
Oh, and I mean,
thank
normally
you.
They're really squatty and kind of, but this one is just really super. Okay, for sure. What a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't help it. I mean, when the dogs have been walking by all night because they have a dog park.
This is the first one we've stopped.
Yeah, first one.
Yeah.
That animal is just, I want to take that dog home.
I've always wanted one, but good God, they're expensive. What?
Miami, Michigan Bulldogs. That's where I came from. In Michigan, they're green.
Okay.
$2,000,
$2,500? More?
Whew.
Yeah. Worth it, though. He's beautiful.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Dan O'Gara stopping by. Dan O'Gara, I went to Iraq with him, and my God, we made steaks and everything else. You look good. You look unbelievable. You must be working out. Dan. The best in the business. Everyone stop by O'Gara's after the game tonight and have a beer. Man, we're seeing everybody out here except Bill Murray.
Dang.
That's my story. That's my Bill Murray story. And one hell of a
why was he? Bulldog. I mean, we have to take a break, but why was he at Vikings training camp?
Well, he was in town to do something with Vec, I think, in the Saints. He also was, I think, a pretty good friend of Ahmad Rashad.
Okay.
So Ahmad had him down at training camp because he used to be a Viking.
It's not like Mike Vec is from, or excuse me, Bill Murray is from here. He's from Illinois, I believe.
Chicago, I believe, yeah. I think so. I think you're right. But he has connections here, obviously, with Vec and this team.
Sure.
That we're helping everyone get into this stadium here for the first night of the St. Paul Saints season, at least here at home. And we're going to take a little break and come on back. And, you know, it's always fun when Ben puts something on the damn list that is just like out of nowhere, ranking Minnesota's number one picks from the past.
Number one overall.
St. Paul Saints?
Number one overall pick. That just don't look at the St. Paul Saints. That's not for you. It's been I put St. Paul Saints on there every time. Why is this the first time you're talking about it? This is not for you. That's for our people back that are tweeting and doing stuff.
I know it.
Just say 105 the ticket. I've got to go to the bathroom again. Just say it and I need to leave.
105 the ticket, go pee. You see everything out here, man. You see everything.
The Mastiff that you've been eyeing all day.
Yeah.
I just was petting him. He's three. And he's going to bring him over here for you. He's going to rest his head on the table here.
Unbelievable. Wow. It's like, you know, it's like the Jimmy Fallon show or the David Letterman show with all the animals. We've had animals walking by that are as fascinating as the people, yeah. Obviously. But we have a Dutch shepherd in front of us. Not a German, a Dutch shepherd, and it looks like a hyena. It's brindly. It's a totally different. And then there's a mastiff.
Look at this guy.
He's like a 400-pound mastiff right now in front of me.
He's three.
It's a beautiful animal.
He's huge.
What's his name?
Thor.
Of course it is. Of course it is.
What a beast.
Is that what they used in the movie Cujo? Okay. I think it is. I'm sure it is.
I think you're right.
The animals. So there's a dog park really close to this field.
Well, it's connected to the field.
I never know what the story is, but these dogs are just gorgeous. We've seen bulldog. We saw the English bulldog. We've seen a Great Dane. That's a brindle Great Dane walking around out here. This mastiff is unbelievable. How much does the mastiff weigh? 170? And he's only three?
No, he'll be 3 in July.
Okay. Well, so he's not three yet. Oh, okay. So he's got a little ways to go. How big will it get then?
He's full grown.
Like 5 or 10 pounds.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
His chest spreads out a little bit more.
Okay.
What a big,
well,
big
that
dog.
Well, that is a large animal.
I love it. He's basically he's walking over everything right now. He doesn't know any better. He thinks he's a pug.
Unbelievable.
He thinks he's a pug. That's the best thing. So we got to run through this real quick. Michael Rand of the Star Tribune listed the top 10 number one overall draft picks of all time here in Minnesota.
Okay.
Some of these don't necessarily matter, like Bobby Smith of the North Stars. He had some great seasons. He had a 30-goal effort, Rookie of the Year. Tommy Mason for the Vikings, obviously, when they came here in 1961. Tim Belcher for the Twins, never signed in 1983. Brian Lawton, North Stars, scored 112 career goals. But let's talk about the big names.
The big ones.
And I want you to rank these, okay? Elgin Baylor.
Ooh.
Drafted by the Minneapolis Lakers.
That's big.
One of the best NBA players of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Ron Yeri, Minnesota Vikings, obviously.
Well, you know what? John Michaels, my offensive line coach, also coached him and introduced him at the Hall of Fame. And he said that Ron Yeri was the meanest football player he's ever coached. And Johnny coached 29 years of the offensive line with the Vikings, including Randall McDaniel and Gary Zimmerman.
So Elgin Baylor, Ron Yeri, Maya Moore, who's amazing, probably the best player in the WNBA right now.
And the best college women's basketball player of all time.
Yeah, Rookie of the Year, already a WNBA MVP, helping the Lynx win two championships. There's Joe Mauer, Minnesota Twins, we all know about him, three batting titles, MVP. Mike Modano, North Stars, 11-time NHL All-Star, finished with more goals than any other U.S.-born player. And then there is Simone Augustus for the Minnesota Lynx, drafted first and five-time WNBA All-Star, two-time national championship. So those six players, rank them.
You know what? Say what you want to, and Mike Modano is. I'll take Elgin Baylor and Modano.
Okay.
Joe Mauer.
Over Ron Yeri?
I don't know. Wait, well,
over Maya Moore? I mean, Maya Moore. Granted, I get the fact that she's still young, but and maybe because she's a woman, I don't know. But she's the best player in the WNBA, really. I mean, she's one of the top players there are.
Well, all of them are. I mean, some of the all-time of everything. I mean, that's why they're on this list. But Ron Yeri being an offensive lineman, I don't know how people are going to rate that in against like a Joe Mauer. I think he might be the best on the list if you want to go by absolutely dominant at his position. I think he is more so than Elgin Baylor was.
Really?
I do. I Ron Yeri was easily one of the best right tackles that ever played this game. And you know, he played in, he started 9 Pro Bowls. Randall McDaniel started 12 straight Pro Bowls. He's easily one of the most impressive people on that list.
Sure.
He dominated right tackle.
Yeah.
So I would put him at the very top if you don't really care about offensive prowess like Joe Mauer's,
best at their position
and everything else.
Best of what they did.
I think Yeri and then Baylor and then probably Mike Modano would round out my top three. And then it'd be really sketchy from that point on.
Interesting.
And I'll tell you what's really interesting. The fact that we've gone all the way through this, and we've only got one more segment left, we've interviewed everything from little kids to dogs to the mayor of St. Paul. We have not yet seen Bill Murray, but we've had Michael Vick, and that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Jim Rich, Mike Berardino, and we've got the sillier side of sports coming up next with a true superstar, and we'll end it just like that. Come on back.
You ready for this?
I couldn't be more ready.
I don't know if you're ready for this. Sillier side of sports. This has nothing to do with sports, but it's one of those stories where I thought,
why not?
I got to tell the soupy doopy doop doop about this guy.
Jeez.
So there was a frustrated man at the Charlotte airport.
Frustrated.
When his, He was at the Charlotte airport, and he decided to take off all his clothes, strip naked.
He was hot!
After his trip to Jamaica was being threatened by an overbooked U.S. Airways flight. Homeboy took off all his clothes and posted up at the gate without any clothes on for another 40 minutes before police finally came to take him away. So he's just hanging out there, balls just swinging in the wind.
Just swinging. I mean, you know what? He was making a statement. You're not gonna do this to me. I mean, you're gonna have to put up with some serious garbage here.
Another passenger named Sherry Ketchy snapped a photo of the pot-bellied angry white man for all to see on Facebook. It's all over the place.
Oh, God.
They took him out of the airport in handcuffs, naked. So he's walking through the airport just as nude as he was born.
He's pot-bellied?
Yeah, police say the man was suffering from a, quote, medical issue, and he will not face any charges.
God, that's filthy. I feel like I need a shower.
I give him props for standing up for what he believes in, I guess.
Standing up for it, huh?
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
During a radio appearance on 7:50 a.m. The Game, I believe that's in Seattle, Seahawks lineman Michael Bennett said playing for head coach Pete Carroll is like playing for Willy Wonka.
What the hell?
He said, quote, he's crazy. He wants to be young. He's just one of those guys who's always upbeat and just wants to have a good time because he lets you be yourself.
He does.
63-year-old Carroll is one of the oldest yet most energizing coaches in the league. He went on to say it sure beats playing for Greg Schiano because he played for him with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I can say this much. I've actually seen Pete Carroll throw a football about 60 yards. He can still hurl the football. He throws Pat and goes to the receivers before games sometimes. They said he still does that. I mean, he does it all the time. And I've seen a couple documentaries of the most recent two Seattle Seahawks teams that made it to the Super Bowl these last couple of years. And it's mostly about Pete Carroll. And he's throwing the hell out of the football on these documentaries.
Yeah. Sillier side of sports, Tiger Woods has the filthiest mouth on the PGA Tour, according to FCC complaints.
Ooh.
Outbursts from Woods resulted in 15 of 22 of those complaints, including one angry viewer saying, quote, I should not be subjected to this in my own home. The 14-time major champion, who's 39, does get more airtime than any other golfer, but it is still no excuse as far as another disgruntled complainant is concerned, who wrote, quote, when watching his sports program, we should be free from vile insulting assaults.
Roll the dial, dude. You don't like cussing.
Seriously.
You don't like Tiger cussing. Just turn your volume down.
But when you think of who's watching PGA events, the majority of them, I would say, were probably a little bit older, a little bit more conservative.
A little stuffy.
And then you have their wives watching the games, who are probably, you know,
really stuffy,
really
starchy.
Everybody
snooty.
Knows how wives can be.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Well, really, man. I heard him when he was teeing off on like a hole that was away from everyone. There was no gallery, no nothing, because it was sort of an isolated tee box. And he went off. Yeah. It was at the Masters. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to blow it and you're going to say something and swear, he like ultra blew it because of what he said.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to try it.
Tiger Wood, y'all.
Bad news, man.
Superstar Mike Morris.
Yes.
Ben Holson, CHS Field. We've been down here for the St. Paul Saints all afternoon. Their first pitch here in about 15, 20 minutes. At 7:10, it's been fantastic. Make sure you join me. I'll be here with Sean Aronson, the voice of the St. Paul Saints, every Saturday. We are the home games right here on 105 The Ticket. We'd love to see you down here in Lower Town, St. Paul. It's really a great area. Mike Vex stopped by today. We talked to Chris Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Jim Rich on the show, Mike Berrettino,
yep.
Brad Ryder from the Minnesota Timber. What? Little Red Ryder? It's funny when you're out broadcasting live in public and people walk by and shout stuff at you.
They don't care. That's why I can respect the animals that are walking by and not the people.
Yeah. Well, you and I, we talk about it all the time.
I know. I just hate them. I hate them. I think, who are the animals?
I don't know. The people are the animals. Yeah, that's the problem.
Damn it. Leave me alone.
Another successful show, though.
Yes, I
can't wait to do another radio show with you tomorrow. We'll call it quits for a couple of days, Memorial Day weekend. We'll talk to our guy, Zach. God, what's his last name? Zach something or other. He writes for CBS Sports, and he also does a blog, A Wolf Among Wolves. And I'm pretty sure he's going to tell us that the Minnesota Timberwolves are absolutely nutty if they don't take Carl Anthony Towns. We'll talk to him tomorrow. Marsh Hallberg Criminal Defense, talking about the people that are in trouble. Aaron Hernandez broke. His wife is moving out of their house because it's being foreclosed upon, or his girlfriend, I guess it is.
Yeah.
So a busy show tomorrow. Please come back. I'll miss you if you don't. And this whole show is about you. Like Jim Rich said, we both ride your coattails. You're our favorite guy.
You're in trouble.
But take us home, brother. Time.
We're going to do it right now. We've got... a true superstar, Army Specialist Joseph W. Riley, 27, is from Grove City, Ohio, assigned to the 1st Battalion, 508th Parachute Infantry Regiment, 3rd Brigade Combat Team, 82nd Airborne Division, the proud 82nd Airborne Division out of Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Died November 24th. In Kabul, Afghanistan, of wounds suffered in a vehicle-borne improvised explosive device attack. One of those, again and again. Improvised explosive devices 75% of the time over there. Army Specialist Joseph W. Riley is my true superstar. Keep in your hearts and prayers. Good night. Many men.